This is CliffCentral.com. Revolution.
It's Wednesday and it is The Football Show, a show about football, the return of the Champions League, Kanye's tweets, Kanye's album, doping, match fixing, disrespectful penalties, Cristiano's ego, Theo's rants, and the Grammys. And I am joined in the studio by nobody currently. I am obviously becoming a madman by myself, obviously with Duncan in the building. Hi, Duncan. Anyway, it's your boy, Comrade Question, holding it down for the Football Show team, who are nowhere to be seen right now. But we shall continue nonetheless with the intros. Rumor has it, and this is only a rumor, but rumor has it that on a recent trip to Cape Town, which may or may not have coincided with the Sonar debate of 2016, she happened to announce that she was in Cape Town. We are further told that upon hearing of her esteemed yellowness, presence in Cape Town, members of the much maligned EFF could not contain the frothiness of their loins and all decided to skip Parliament in order to catch a glimpse of this most rare and treasured genome of the yellow species. All we know is that she is the godmother of all things yellow. The prima donna of the color yellow, the public protector of the color yellow, the real preamble of the constitution of yellow bones. Ladies and gentlemen, Red 90, who is on her way, we are reliably informed. Yes, 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 yes. We are also told that despite having the driving etiquette of a Durban-born Johannesburg taxi driver, he has never ever had a single traffic offense, and that he also received a call from one of the Gupta brothers the other day telling him that he too will be the first foreigner deployed to a lucrative ministry in the not too distant future. All we know is that he is the in-house oracle of all things football, the man whose twang is rumored to have been one of the main reasons behind apartheid South Africa's pressure to release Nelson Mandela and eventually bring about democracy in South Africa. The incorruptible Nigerian, the exemplary immigrant, a model of 21st century black man virtue, the God, Durag Jesus! It's so fun. Rumor has it that while watching cricket with some mates over the weekend, he was in the director's box adjacent to Musi Maimane's. And that while they were watching the cricket, his mates kept on referring to the latent Socratic themes in the latest Star Wars franchise. Is it therefore any surprise that Maimane's speech was littered with Star Wars imagery and terminology, which he may or may not have appropriated from listening to Theo and his friends? All we know is that he is the godfather of black people privilege, the man whose coven of culturally woke friends fathered Musi Maimane's whole oratory style, the god Theo Mojo. Oh my god. Oh my god. This is so... So this is the weird part. Now I have to do my own intro because all these other dickbags I don't even hear yet. But I'll skip my own intro in the hope that I will be saved by other people who are going to come and actually do my intro for me. But I'll do Rawls. We are told that he is the only hipster to ever meditate on the topmost far eastern corner of the Carlton Centre in an attempt to engender an anti-Braamfontein counterculture in the Joburg hipster movement. And that since this selfless act of messianic hipster proportions, he has been hailed as a martyr in international hipster circles. All we know is that he is the in-house cool kid, the man with the most immaculate fade of all time. And I mean of all time. Some know him as Fade Matthews. Some know him as Antonio Bandana. Mr. It Goes Down in the DMs, the God, João Matthews, ladies and gentlemen. João Matthews, who is also on the way. It becomes kind of difficult when you have like a football talk show and you are by yourself in the studio. Let's see what the people on the WeChat are talking about. We've got Yao Kodua Agiekum. Damn, man. Thanks so much. You just saved me here. Can we move for Ultralight Beam to be included in all hymn books in all churches? Look, man. Yao, I'm a Kanye stan, so I will obviously say to you, let's move for Ultralight Beams in all hymn books, in all denominations. Roman Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, anyone who goes to church must be listening to Kanye's Ultralight Beams. Fire mixtape! Okay, all right, okay. I think I'm getting like cabin fever because I'm alone in the studio here. Right, let's move on to some news and some football results. So I guess the big match this week was Arsenal and Leicester City, if I am correct. I don't know how many of you guys watched that game, but here's the thing. I am so happy I can say this because I'm by myself. But here's the thing. So, you know, like how there's this fairy tale that has existed about Leicester City. And, a fairy tale team, £600,000 players competing against £42.5 million signings like Mesut Ozil and, besting them and all that kind of stuff, which I think is admirable. But I mean, we need stories like that in football. We need stories like that in the modern world, you know, Cinderella's fairy tales kind of thing. But did anyone not see Leicester being exposed for the cheats that they were on Sunday? Tweet us at Football Show CC, or you can call us on 0861555189 to voice your opinions, your moans, groans, or concerns about what Leicester were doing. I mean, fine, you're 5 points ahead of a team that's chasing you, and there's, 20 minutes to go, and they were doing anything and everything to waste time. I mean, come on! There's this thing that I always do, like it's like a superstition when I'm watching Arsenal. Whenever we're down and the team is like trying to frustrate us, I always say, under my breath, obviously, like it's gonna be their time that they're wasting. And I said it in the Leicester game, and we won that game 2-1. Another talking point is Jamie Vardy's penalty. Now, is it a penalty if a striker clatters into a defender? Nacho Monreal, with his unorthodox defending style, just stood there and Jamie Vardy essentially clattered into him. I want to know from you guys, was that a penalty? Would that constitute a penalty in any game on any Sunday, whether you guys are watching or whether you guys are playing? 0861555189 or tweet us at Football Show CC. You can also talk to us with the hashtag TheFootballShow, emphasis on football with a PH. We do have a Facebook page which has loads of uncool stuff happening there. That's The Football Show on Facebook. And we also have a Periscope account, which we never used for filming. It might actually become a thing. That's Football Show on Periscope as well. We've got a WeChat message from Devilho who says, guys, I was speaking to Fire Girl. Fire flame emoji, fire flame emoji, fire flame emoji, fire flame emoji in class yesterday. Fire! Exclamation, exclamation. But I didn't have the swag to tell her. Her breath was pop. It could not even be done. Never. Well, look. There is a certain je ne sais quoi that you need to tell a good-looking girl that she's got bad breath. And, I mean, look, I've done it before, and it's very liberating. I can tell you that much. So, don't worry. Don't worry, Debo. You can do it. You have the balls. You just gotta have balls of steel or brass to do it, which I probably have. And she's never spoken to me again. But I'm married and I'm happy. So, yeah. Anyway, moving along swiftly. Leicester City, basically, they lost 2-1 to Arsenal. Then move on to next game. Man City 1, Spurs 2. I think we have an issue with Spurs here. Are Spurs the real deal? or do they have the squad to finish the job, especially with their Europa League commitments? I think that's one thing that we're also forgetting. Spurs still have to have those Thursday, Sunday games going on. And Arsenal are only going to be in the Champions League until 2 weeks from now. I'm sure Barcelona are going to knock us out next week. So I think between Spurs, Arsenal and City, I'm not counting Leicester City here. Between Spurs, Arsenal and City, we're probably going to find the champion. Going to find the champion of the English Premier League. Duncan is just talking to me through the window here, showing me nudes. Dick pics. I don't even know how I'm supposed to be concentrating here. We've got a WhatsApp message from Asanda here who says, you should have invited me into the studio. Well, you're not here, Asanda. I'm so sorry. Apologies. Right, let's move along. Oh, yes. Leicester City, they lost. Did I say that before? Do people know that Leicester City lost? Duncan, did you know that? Oh, okay, cool. All right, okay. Man City 1, Tottenham Hotspur 2. So, here's the thing. Man City have by far the best squad in the English Premier League. Man for man, position for position, they are the bomb diggity. They've got everyone that you can think of. Nasri, Silva, De Bruyne, Sterling, Otamendi, Kompany, Sanya, wherever. Like, you can go on and just spew names that are, at best, at worst, Man City have got 16 internationals in their team and about 5 on the bench.
True.
But what I've discovered is that Man City also have the worst team in the Premier... Well, of the top 4 teams that are chasing the league, Man City do not have a collective. If you notice how they've been playing since December, it just hasn't... Something hasn't been going on. Yaya Toure is off the ball, probably because of news that Pep Guardiola is coming through to... what's that place called? To Man City. And Sergio Aguero, who I did identify as a very key component of them winning the title if they can keep him fit, seemed like he was off the boil as well on, what day was that? Sunday. Yes. So what I want to know from you guys again, do you guys think that Man City have got the capability to get out of this funk that they're currently in and challenge,
factual,
essentially the last two guys who are left in this, well, not really. I really think it's over for Leicester City, but time will tell. I think it's now between Tottenham and Arsenal. And wow, if Durag Jesus was here, he'd be having a good time with me talking all this crap. We've got another WeChat message here. Let me just read that for you guys. It is from Debucho. He says, please talk about how solid Monreal actually is. The dude is proper solid. You will have no qualms from me about that, man. That guy's, I think he's one of Arsenal's unsung heroes this season. Since he has come back into the team when they went away to Bayern Munich, I think in 2014, he has been a solid performer week in, week out, and he has displaced a not-so-average Kieran Gibbs. So I think, you know, he doesn't get the credit he deserves, but he's done really, really well ever since he came on. Right, let's move along to the next result. Manchester United. Man United 1, Sunderland 2. If only Theo was here. I mean, the rant that would come out of that man's mouth right now. And you begin to wonder, what is it that is going wrong at Man United? On a recruitment level, I saw there's like a £306 million recruitment drive planned for the summer in the Northern Hemisphere. But at what point do you stop blaming the players that you're buying and start blaming the manager? I mean, Angel Di Maria, we saw him last night, what he was doing against Chelsea for PSG. The guy is playing out of his skin, out of his skeletal Argentinian thug Boca Juniors skin. And Louis van Gaal failed to get any kind of form out of that guy, bar the first 3 or 4 games for Man United. So my question is, when do you stop blaming the players for doing what they are told in training, and just shift the manager shift the blame squarely onto the shoulders of the manager? You can also call me on 0861555189, the love hotline here on the Football Show. Anyway, I'm just losing my mind here. Cabin fever. Sorry. Duncan, don't look at me with that sexy eye.
Oh, fuck you.
Oh, please.
Oh, sorry.
This is radio. Jeez, this guy. So, Man United fans, how do we feel out there? I wonder what Theo feels like right now. Theo probably went and killed some cats and shat in their mouths. I have this one vivid memory of Theo when we're in varsity and Man United lost, I think it was in the Champions League 2008 or 2009, when they lost against Barcelona. to that Leo Messi header, and Cristiano was absent throughout that game. And Theo went and said to Cristiano, "I want to shit on your face. I want to shit in your mouth. I'm going to eat your children." That is how deeply this man cares about Man United. So when you guys hear him having a rant or two about Man United, you must know that it comes from a place of deep-seated love and lust or whatever it is. Anyway, we've got another WeChat message here, man. It's blowing up. It's Hotline Bling today on WeChat. Yao Koduage Kum says Depay is a piece of shit. Van Gaal needs to go. Number one. What's his face is too fat. Memphis Depay is too fat, and whether or not it was a consequence of him trying to bulk up for the league or trying to be a better player or whatever it is, because you know people get told all kinds of tall tales about coming to the Premiership, I just feel he is not as nimble and as supple a player as he was when he was at, was it PSV? Yeah, PSV or Feyenoord, wherever he was last season. And to see, but also we have to take cognizance of the fact that this is his first season in the Premiership. Different season, he has to adapt. Might have made a few splashes in the first few weeks, but now he seems to be struggling. So let's give the guy a chance. I personally think that United have got a good player there, but the one guy who scares the shit out of me, man, what's the other guy? Antonio Martial, my goodness. He's a game changer. He is decisive, and at 19 or 20, because he's 20 now, turned 20 in December, I think, and he's turning 21 again in December this year. At 20 years old, with the kind of confidence and the decisiveness of his decision-making, he's a scary prospect for Man United. And I think you guys have a really good player there. So, yeah, I just hope we don't get to meet him later on in life when he's actually like a serious football player. Right, let's move on to the next result. Chelsea 5, Newcastle 1. Yo. Willian, I think, has been Chelsea's best player this season. I think a lot of people will agree with me if I say that. He is phenomenal. I was even watching him last night when they were playing PSG. And I mean, that guy changes games. Willian is the only person in that Chelsea team who looks like whenever he gets the ball, the team wants to drive forward. As well as Fabregas, he seems to be back now, that little shit piece. Sorry, my Arsenal blood started boiling and I ended up listening to my inner voice. Anyway, 5-1, goals from, I don't remember, but yeah, they scored 5 goals and Newcastle had 1. Now, you have to ask yourself, in as much as Mourinho might have messed up shit, is this again an exposition of player power? Is this what we see when, if players don't want to play for a manager? I mean, these guys were losing matches. I'm even seeing how Diego Costa runs now. He runs with like an extra 5 yards of pace. He looks like he can beat anyone right now, literally and metaphorically in the context of a football game. He looks like he can do anything to any player right now. He's scoring goals for fun. What is it about Mourinho that he did so much to these players that made them not want to play for him at all? That's number one. Number two, what is it that Gus Hiddink has gotten so right as opposed to what Mourinho was doing in the last 3 or 4 months of his tenure as Chelsea manager? You guys can chime in on that and let me know what you think. And we're going to move on again to Swansea 0, Southampton 1. Southampton, I think, have had like, 6 games in a row now where they're just winning games, where they were having issues of mid-table mediocrity and obscurity, I think, in December. And after that win over Arsenal, the 4-0 win, they just seem to start flying from then on. And they're also going about their business quite, you know, silently, just like the Spurs from North London. And I think maybe they might be in with a shout of actually going for those top 4 positions, depending on how far Leicester City slip. Because I am still betting my money on Leicester City getting out of those top 3 positions. And then we also have Aston Villa 0, Liverpool 6. Sturridge returns with a goal. And Liverpool players seemingly coming back. By players coming back, I mean Sturridge himself. And of course, Divock Origi, who came back. I think he's been back for 2 games now. And Daniel Sturridge. And Felipe Coutinho, who is always important for Liverpool in midfield, especially in the final third for those passes. Now, here's a question. Is it too late for them to push for a top 4 place? Duncan laughs. No, it's not too late, Duncan. Is it too late for them to put to push for a top four position? Or are we simply looking at a team that is still learning to find itself? I mean, I was having a discussion with some guys on Sunday talking about consistency and inconsistency in the league, especially as well with regard to Man United and actually all the teams in the league. For me, there is this enduring debate about whether is it a mediocre league because of the money? Well, because no one can beat anyone. Is it a mediocre league? Or is it a more competitive league simply because of the money that has been put into the game? Now, I mean, for me, it's a very slippery slope. Once you say it's a competitive league, why, if it's so competitive, why is it that British teams or English teams, for that matter, are doing so dismally in Europe? If that certain level of competition that we talk of is there, it's present, surely it should translate to more success or more progress in the upper reaches of European tournaments, which we don't see so far being translated in terms of English games. So I'm more on the side of it being a very mediocre league because no big team can continue or sustain a run of 10 games without getting beaten or spanked or losing to a Leicester City, for example. Got another message here on the WeChat from Yao Kodio Agiekum, who says Jose Mourinho was feeding his players Nigerian jollof rice and they got pissed off. I don't think Durek Jesus will let you survive that one. I will be sure to make sure that Durek Jesus knows you said that, and we'll let him know what happened there. Right. Moving along swiftly, we go to the next result. It's I was still talking about Aston Villa and Liverpool. Now, do you guys think Liverpool are serious title contenders next season? Do you think they'll make a title push for the top four this season? Right, here is the log as it stands today. The top four, Leicester City on top with 53 points. Spurs second with 51 points. Second by virtue of a superior goal difference to Arsenal, who are in third, also on 51 points. Man City 47, and I think the next team would be United with 40. I'm not sure. I'll check later. And then we go to La Liga, where Barcelona beat Celta Vigo 6-1. Messi and Suarez do a Cruyff and Niskins penalty. Arsenal fans will remember in 2005 when Thierry Henry and Robert Pires made a right mess of a penalty against Man City, I think. And I was reading also an article on the Mirror or something where that super cunt Danny Mills tried to... Oh my God, I'm sorry, excuse me. Danny Mills, you Philistine, you ungrateful bastard who does not know what Thierry Henry and Robert Pires gave to British football. He said Robert Pires basically introduced diving into the English game simply because he was so incensed by the level of disrespect from Thierry Henry and Robert Pires when they tried to do that penalty that Cruyff and Niskins did in who knows when. But it wasn't a friendly that Cruyff and whatever did it in. But Messi and Suarez happened to do it in a match when they were leading 4-1. So it's more important because Messi did it and he's cheating and he's got drugs and he doesn't pay taxes. But anyway, that's a different story for another day. Now, I just want to say something to you, Mr. Danny Mills. When you go a season unbeaten, when you become one of the greatest players that this earth has ever seen, when you are a physical specimen like Thierry Henry, only then can you talk about that being a disrespectful penalty. Now, moving along swiftly, Barcelona 6, Celta Vigo 1. I think it's now their 29th game unbeaten in all competitions. They are going away to Getafe or Sporting Gijon today. And I think that's where Luis Enrique grew up or whatever. And that's his hometown. And they are hoping to extend that run to 30 games, which will be a new record. I think it's already a new record for Barcelona at 29 games. So, guys, here's the thing about Barcelona. I could coach Barcelona and they'll win. That's how good these guys are. Whatever they've got in that water at La Masia, it works. Whatever doping, whatever steroids that they're giving those guys, horse placenta injections, HGH cappuccinos, or testosterone pills, those guys are just too good. Even the kids at La Masia. Look at Gerard Deulofeu at Everton. Look at that kid who's so fast he broke his own legs at... is it Aston Villa? Should be Aston Villa. Yeah, Adama Traore? Yeah, I think that's his name. Anyway, moving along swiftly, Getafe 0, Atletico Madrid 1, Real Madrid 4, Athletic Bilbao 2, CR7 back amongst the goals. Speaking of CR7, he happened to walk out of a press conference yesterday for some Champions League thing that he was being interviewed for, and they asked him about some guy had the gall to ask Cristiano Ronaldo about how he doesn't score so many goals away from home. Who are you? Who is your father, you bastard? Idiots. Your mother is a goat. Laptop eyes. Stupid. Condom lips. Bastard. Anyway, so this guy asked Cristiano Ronaldo why his form away from home is so poor, and Cristiano, obviously being the guard body, walked out of the interview. Fair. Now, Cristiano Ronaldo has scored 11 goals, I think, in 6 or 7 Champions League appearances this season. It should be 6 because they've only played 6 games anyway. So, I mean, to even ask the God, the Jesus of football, is ridiculous. So, well, good on you, Cristiano. Now, La Liga, as it looks right now, we have Barca on top, 57, having played 1 game less than both Real and Atletico because of that useless competition, the Club World Cup. And I think they're going to get that game back today when they play, I'm not sure if it's Sporting Gijón or whatever. I was listening to people on TV today trying to say Sporting Gijón, and they were like, Gijón, Sporting Gijón. Like, it's just, I think I'm just going to go and say Sporting Gijón. Yeah, Sporting Gijón. And then, so we've got Barcelona on 57. They'll probably have 60 points by the end of the night today. Atletico on 54 and Real Madrid on 53. Essentially, we're looking at a 7-point gap between Real Madrid and Barcelona. I think it's insurmountable. I don't think they're going to get back. Now, let's go to the South African PSL. Oh, yes. Super Disky. Only on E or wherever they show it. SuperSport United 2, Tux 0, Celtic 0, Chipre United 1, Maritzburg United 0, Platinum Stars 1, Polokwane City 1, Golden Arrows 2, Ajax 2, Black Aces 2, Pirates 1, Sundowns 2. I think that's a game from a long time ago. Wits 0, Chiefs 1. Now, the log after however many games looks like this. Sundowns sitting pretty on top of the pile, 9 points ahead of the next guys at 45 points. Bidvest Wits 36, Kaizer Chiefs 35, Black Aces 35. Now, let's move on to some Champions League action. PSG 2, Chelsea 1. If you guys were watching that game yesterday, the imperious Angel Di Maria pulling the strings from midfield. And one person I really wanted to take a look at yesterday was Adrien Rabiot. There's been so much talk about this kid. Arsene Wenger has been trying to sign him for ages, brought his mom over to his house for wine, and still couldn't get him to sign the deal. I don't know what it is about, but I saw him yesterday play, very composed on the ball, big guy, probably would do well in the English Premiership. And yeah, good game. 2-1. Edison Cavani came on and scored. Does he not look like Jesus without the mustache? Does he not look like Jesus without the mustache? Edison Cavani? I think he does. Benfica 1, Zenit St. Petersburg 0. Who is Renato Sanchez? He is a fire flame emoji. He is like a crazy, wild wonder kid that everyone's been talking about. More like in the mold of a N'Golo Kante, like a small kind of defensive midfield kind of guy, but he does well. He does have a bit of a turn of pace, I guess it's because he's 18, but he seems to be something that European football is going to be looking at in the next 2 years, if not already. And tonight we have... what do we have today? Oh yeah, Roma Real Madrid, we've already spoken about CR7 walking out of the game today, out of the press conference yesterday. So we have Roma and Real Madrid today, and we also have Wolfsburg and Ghent. Fun fact for you guys that you might not know. Is it a fun fact? I don't know. Anyway, so next week, because of this whole flurry of Champions League matches, we're going to be shooting a pilot webcast, which we're going to put on YouTube, and you can finally see the supreme yellowness of Red Nandy on your tube. Are you guys happy about that? Are you? I know Duncan's happy. He is losing his mind. Stop it. So yeah, we're shooting like a pilot of a webcast type thing where we're going to be talking about football, you know, like real football people who know what they're doing. So you guys want to tune into that. And then There's Wolfsburg and Ghent. Did I talk about Wolfsburg and Ghent? Yeah. Wolfsburg and Ghent are the other guys on the, what do you call that thing? On the Champions League. Anyway, we actually do, speaking of Red Nandi, we actually do have her on the line. Hi, Nandi.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Nah.
Listen, before we start, I just want to apologize to, I don't know if I'm saying it right. Twitter handle is at Maybankbruck. I think that's how you said it. I'm really sorry. I promised him I'd be there today and I'm not. Really upset with me.
He's very upset with you. Rightfully so.
He even pulled out a tweet from last week saying you promised. I'm really sorry. I'm really, really sorry. I have a very good reason. I promise.
I'm sure you did. Did you watch any of the games from the weekend?
What was I doing this weekend? No. Listen, I'm pretty sure I watched. Yes, I watched some football. I did.
Yes.
I watched most of the PSL games.
Okay.
I watched Tottenham Southern Marysville United.
Oh, what a quality game!
I know, right? Magical.
Yeah.
And then I watched United, of course. You know, disappointing as usual. I think I'm gonna stop watching United.
I was watching when you guys were losing and I was thinking, how many more rants does Theo have in him?
Yeah, no, honestly. And every time I see Van Gaal's face, I think about that epic line when you said Louis Van Gaal's father should have pulled out. And I really, with every game, I agree with him more and more with every single game, honestly. Did you guys, have you discussed the, I'm taking over. But have you discussed the Soccer La Duma thing?
What Soccer La Duma thing?
Oh my word, you haven't been following.
No.
Wow, it's been this big thing from last week and this week. Apparently, Soccer La Duma make up interviews.
Oh wow.
So they'll quote a footballer. Let's say they'll quote Stuart Chabalal.
Yeah.
And like, there was no interview. He didn't say any of that shit. And now they've been exposed.
Oh,
and it's actually turning into quite a nasty thing. And all these soccer clubs are banning them now and all of that.
But I mean, yeah, they've been doing so well. They have, you know, reputable reporters whose names we won't say.
That's the thing. Because now it's making the good reporters look bad. Like, we've got the people like Joe Cran and Peter DeSoy. I mean, they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I guess nobody actually knows which of the reporters are making shit up. But like, footballers are coming out and speaking up about it and the clubs and everything. It's quite a mess.
Oh, geez, that is, that's a first for the football show. You heard that from Red Nandi here on the telephone.
And, you know, just like dropping information.
Dropping
like
knowledge that from the other side, man. Bars.
Are you alone?
No, I'm alone.
have you been using different voices and pretending like you
were
other people?
I tried to do it, but it didn't work.
Did you do intros for everyone?
I'm a very polite guy, Nandi. I did intros for everybody.
I appreciate it.
Yes.
And I'll try to be there every week from now on.
Yeah, so we spoke about you guys. We spoke about Arsenal. We spoke about Sunderland. You see, and the people who've been listening, Yao Kodu Agikyum and Tebogo, who's also been listening. People who love this show. We love you guys, man. People, anyway.
Thank you very much. We love you very much. And there's more coming.
Yeah. So with some news here, Liverpool have signed Schalke 04 player Joel Matip on a free transfer. He will join the Reds at the end of the season. I think he's a decent player. Do you know Joel Matip?
I didn't know what you just said.
Liverpool have signed Schalke 04 player Joel Matip on a free transfer. He will join.
Is he good? Do you think he'll make a difference?
I don't know. I think Liverpool are in a deep pile of shit. But anyway, Adam Johnson was found guilty of grooming and child rape, as you guys might be aware.
Thank you.
His girlfriend.
So now what's gonna happen?
But you know what? The weird part is his girlfriend is fire. Like, fire flame emoji, fire mixtape. He is a footballer. At worst, he's earning, and he was at Man City, so he was probably on like ridiculous wages. At worst, right now, he was probably making £60,000 a week. I don't need to.
He screwed up his own career.
Yeah, I don't need to go to a 16-year-old to get laid. I just need to show up and say, just say, hi, I'm Adam Johnson, and I pull my small wiener out, and I'm winning. Come on.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be a 16-year-old. So
exactly. No, but his contract has been terminated already by, was it Stoke where he was playing? Sunderland or wherever? Mm-hmm. They've terminated his contract already. It's finished. And then, actually, in related news, There's a Man City fan who has begged for help after realizing that now is not a really good time to have an Adam Johnson tattoo. Because remember, he was at Man City.
So who does he need help from?
He needs help from the people. He's been asking the world for assistance. Like, guys, please help me. I've got like a tattoo of Adam Johnson. I need it off now.
What kind of help does he need? Like, he's looking for donations for laser therapy, or what is he looking for?
Most probably, he's looking for donations for laser therapy. I've got a string of texts from Adam Johnson. So here's the first one from the Mirror. I think, yeah, courtesy of the Mirror.
Between Adam Johnson and
the schoolgirl, the one that he was grooming.
Oh, I'm afraid to hear it. Okay, listen.
Adam Johnson, hey, are you in the last year of school? ? Schoolgirl, yeah, year 10. Will you still send me a signed shirt? AJ, yeah, I will send you one or sign yours, whatever you prefer. Schoolgirl, both if you can. AJ, yeah, I can do. Do you want me to sign yours at the game or you want to meet up? Whatever you prefer. Schoolgirl, I don't mind. Good luck with the City match. This is last year. And then schoolgirl says, I'm not old enough to go out. AJ responds, haha, but yeah, you look old enough. When are you 16? Schoolgirl says, people say that all the time. No one believes me when I say I'm 15. Oh, wow. She adds that she would be 16 in November. This is obviously November of last year. And then he says, I think he's now signed the top. And then she says, thank you. Then Adam Johnson goes like, you owe me. And then he's like, I thought I would have got a thank you kiss for the shirt. I will get this thank you.
What? A what?
A thank you kiss.
Oh, my word.
And then he's like, I thought I would have got a thank you kiss for the shirt. I will get this thank you. It had better be worth it. Schoolgirl, ha, ha, ha. It will be.
I love how you did that laugh. Wow.
Run away. It will be. AJ says, confident, aren't you? Am I only getting a kiss? I mean, come on!
But you know, this guy, he can't even say, I didn't know she was 16.
He can't say that. Yeah, he can't say he didn't know that she was 16.
He's filthy.
Anyway, if you guys want to read this, we're going to put it up on the Twitter feed of the account of the show. At Football Show CC, be sure to follow it. And all that other stuff. We're going to put up Nandi's nudes there as well, if you guys are keen.
Yes, I'm always happy to share.
Always happy to share your news? Okay. Okay, and then in other news, Hoffenheim have appointed a 28-year-old Julian Nagelsmann as head coach. This guy is younger
28.
Than me. 28.
That's not going to work.
Maybe he's a prodigy like Pep Guardiola.
28, though.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, let's see how it goes.
And then an Argentina League match ends in tragedy as a player shoots and kills a referee for sending him off. This is what
football fans are ridiculous.
No, the player, not fans.
Oh, where did he find the gun?
On the bench. I don't know.
So he didn't shoot him later.
He shot him.
He wasn't hitting the game.
He got a red card, went to his bag or whatever, his locker, and pulled out a gat and shot this guy.
Oh, my God.
And the ref is dead now.
I'm sorry, that's very sad, but it's also, like, ridiculous. But it's sad. I mean, rest in peace to the ref.
Yeah, RIP to the ref. Serge Aurier fined €180,000 and banished to the reserves after basically going onto Periscope and calling Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Laurent Blanc homosexuals. I will not use the actual word he said in French, because obviously I know it. But
that will start with an F.
Yes.
The
translation would be faggot in English.
It would be?
Faggots. He called them faggots.
Why did you say it out loud?
Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry.
He was supposed to say out loud. That's why I said that it starts with an F.
Sorry. Apologies. Apologies. It's just that the reception was poor. And then,
yes, and then
Man United are, obviously you should know this, being a Man United stand. Man United are going to rename the South Stand after Sir Bobby Charlton. But isn't it odd that you guys are only doing that now?
It's late, right?
Yeah, I mean, Sir Bobby, didn't he survive the 58 Munich disaster?
Yeah, he did.
He's won the World Cup. You know,
that should have been. Yeah, it should have been long.
You guys should have named like the whole stadium, the Sir Bobby Charlton Stadium, not Old Trafford.
And isn't there? There's a Sir Alex Ferguson stand.
Yeah,
right?
There's a Sir Alex Ferguson stand already.
The Bobby Charlton one.
And a David Moyes stand.
Pardon?
There's also a David Moyes stand. Have you seen?
No,
oh man.
That'll be the day.
Aston Villa, Jolyon Lescott has claimed that a poorly timed fancy sports car tweet was the work of devious trouser goblins. Now, they lost 6-0 to Liverpool on Saturday or Sunday, whenever that was. And then he posted a picture of a CLS 65 AMG. But I mean, it's his money. Do you think just because he's lost, he doesn't get paid though?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he should just be a bit sensitive. He could have put it on.
Sensitive for what? Later. For who?
No, but imagine, like, the fans are upset and then you want to put up a picture of your fancy car.
No. It's my car.
Basically, he's throwing off all the money he gets, but they can't even give it, like, put in a good performance.
Yeah.
So they get a lot of money to buy that car, whatever it's called.
Yeah. All that money and you can't even put in a good performance. That sounds like a complaining.
So I don't blame them.
Anyway, an Arsenal fan suffers a hernia after exuberant post-Welbeck goal celebration. The guy got so excited. Yeah, but I mean, that goal was... Come on, it's last minute. It's the stuff that football fans live for.
Did you jizz?
Did I jizz? Nandi, come on. Obviously, I did.
I'll take that as a yes.
Yeah, obviously, I did.
I saw that goal. As much as I hate to admit it, it is nice.
It's one of those things you live for as a football fan. So, and then we already spoke about Danny Mills. And then Michael Platinum, also known as Michel Platini, is confident that he will be reinstated after having his appeal heard by the FIFA Appeals Committee on Tuesday. Blatter was also at this event. And his appeal was heard, I think, immediately after Platinum's. And it would seem that they are both confident that they will walk away with their bans being rescinded. I don't know what's going to happen. But
I don't see that happening. I don't know. It would be a lot of questions. It actually bring a lot if that happens.
And then Danny Mills.
Did you speak about... You probably have. So I keep interrupting you. Did you speak about the Messi penalty?
Oh, we're going to speak about that just now, actually. No, but that's a great penalty. I mean...
But I feel like, apparently, didn't I read somewhere that they're treating it as a missed penalty?
No, but, yeah, it... Look, a penalty, you're only allowed to touch the ball once because it's a direct free kick. So the moment you touch it, it's in play. So I don't know how they'll treat it as a missed penalty, but I don't know. It doesn't seem to compute for me, but it is essentially... Once he touches the ball and passes it to Suarez, the ball is in play and you can do whatever you want. I think Thierry Henry and Robert Pires tried that in 2005 against Man City and they messed it up horribly.
It failed. I actually saw the YouTube clip of it.
Yeah. Then Johan Cruyff and someone, Niskens, did it in the 70s or something like that. But it was a friendly match and they pulled it off. So that's where it comes from. But there's... just recently had some new footage of some guys who did it 25 years before Cruyff and his pal. So it's like, you know, showboating in football. I mean, Barcelona were up 4-1, so you can do that. Come on.
I thought that a penalty is you kick the ball towards the net. Like, just that's you shooting towards the net. That's really what I thought a penalty was.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, it is, but the ball is in play. Once you touch it... Siham, Baba. Siham again. You know, like
that. But if imagine being that goalkeeper, I felt so bad for him.
There's nothing you can do unless you are, I don't know, me.
He probably hates Messi so much.
Who doesn't hate Messi? Messi doesn't pay taxes. Yeah. Messi does drugs. Messi has got tattoos. And Messi is short and unattractive.
Okay, there's nothing wrong with tattoos, though.
No, nothing wrong with tattoos. Actually, speaking of tax cheats and tax frauds at Barcelona, did you see the thing about Neymar?
Yes, they froze his assets.
They froze his assets, £35 million worth of assets, which translates into about $50 million in Brazil, like a private jet. How does that guy have a private jet already? Cristiano only bought a private jet like a few months ago.
Yeah, how much money does he have or maybe it's just like he makes bad financial decisions and Cristiano not is just smarter than that.
Yeah, maybe Cristiano's just smarter. And remember, Cristiano pays taxes, bro.
That's also true.
Exactly. That is why Cristiano could not afford to get a private jet, because he was...
Because he's been paying taxes.
We just spoke about Neymar's assets, Duncan.
About?
Duncan is like, did you hear that Neymar's assets were frozen? I'm like, we just spoke about it.
A bit delayed. Maybe he's been looking at news again and getting distracted.
Obviously looking at news. And you know how we're always talking about doping in football? Doping, doping, doping.
Yes.
There are allegations of widespread drug taking in Algeria. Now, there's been a suspension of Algerian international Youssef Belali and three other top division players. And Algeria, funny enough, was the only North African country to qualify for the 2014 World Cup.
Well, that explains that.
But the latest controversy raises doubts over the country's footballing future. A media investigation has suggested that corruption was common in Algerian football clubs due to a lack of consistent regulation. I just want to point out here that Riyad Mahrez is from Algeria.
Yeah, that's important to note.
It's important to note. I mean, you can't be worth 500,000 and then start beasting the Premier League the next season. No! No!
He's doping! I'm investigating them now.
Obviously.
Oh, shit, man.
Yao Kodua Agia Kum says, get Nandi to pronounce my name. He wants you to say his name. Say my name.
Get Nandi to what?
To say my name.
Okay, say it again.
Yao Kodua Agia Kum.
Yao Kodua Agia Kum.
Well, I hope you heard that. I'm sure he's listening and he's having a good old time jizzing.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yes. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you for listening. And then LVG has admitted that he feels let down by Bastian Schweinsteiger. That is bad.
Go fuck yourself, LVG. We feel let down by you.
Yeah.
Sorry, and then, I apologize. I lost my cool there a little bit.
You clearly lost your cool. Yes, now it is time for the laundromat.
I bet Duncan's looking at you, telling you to wrap up now.
No, not even. He's not even in the studio anymore.
Wow.
Fucking peace. Paul McCartney was denied entry into Tiger's Grammys after party. Tiger!
Who does Tiger think he is? But also, why is Paul McCartney going into Tiger's big Grammy thing?
Because he's a cool guy. Listen, it's like...
No, man.
I'm
sure there's someone cooler hosting a party. But I wouldn't go to Tiger's thing.
It's like you are hosting a party and Jesus comes to your party.
And then you send Jesus away.
And you send Jesus away.
And Jesus makes wine.
And Jesus makes wine from water, guys. Paul McCartney made it possible for music to be played on radio.
Exactly. That's actually... Wow. Maybe Tiger doesn't even know who he is.
Maybe he doesn't know. And then Rihanna...
Yeah, there's no way he would have...
Rihanna had a meltdown or a breakdown or whatever she did at the Grammys. Do you know she's your fave?
She didn't have a meltdown, actually. Let me just brief you on what happened.
It's okay.
So she was supposed to perform at the Grammys. But then she had a vocal cord infection, and the doctor said that she needed to rest her voice.
Oh, that dicks again must have.
Otherwise,
semen in your throat is not healthy.
I think it's just all the weed she smokes, to be honest.
Maybe semen.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe both.
Yeah.
Then
Kendrick Lamar dropped the most fire performance of the night at the Grammys.
Mm-hmm. I heard that.
I saw it. It's just a bit too electric for me. His eyes were like, he was having a fit or something. I don't know. But it was great. He did it for the culture. He did it for the movement. That's good. Thank you, Kendrick.
And people are loving it, from what I see.
Taylor Swift wins Album of the Year. And
I am so sick of Taylor Swift. No, but seriously, it's such a bunch of crap. Taylor Swift can't win shit that she doesn't deserve all the
But 1989 time. Was a fire album.
It was, but was it the Album of the Year?
What else was, Kendrick?
You know what I read, actually. I read that J. Cole's album was the first album in 25 years to go platinum without a single feature on it.
Really?
Yeah. What the fuck is that? I mean, really? Taylor Swift, for real?
Yeah, Taylor Swift.
That's why Kanye gets so mad.
And then she did seemingly like throw shade at Kanye in her acceptance speech.
She did.
And then Kanye West tweets, all of them.
What?
Kanye's tweets, all of the tweets from Kanye, where he's asking Mark Zuckerberg and Larry Page for money.
He goes, Mark Zuckerberg, I know it's your birthday, but please call me tomorrow. And then he says, all of you in the world, I need you to tweet, FaceTime, call, Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, because I need his help.
Actually, speaking of Kanye, what do we think of his album? I like it.
I haven't heard it yet.
I've heard it. It's fire.
But
then I'm a Kanye stan. And then...
I know. It's like me and Rihanna. You're just going to say it's fire.
And then Julius Files Malema, a.k.a. the senior snitch, a.k.a. the feds is watching. He exposed Mbalula in parliament when he said...
Yo.
I mean, what was that about?
Julius says, you know what? Julius, that friend of yours that you can't break up with because he's going to take out your shit. He's
going to
tell people your shit. But then did you see Mbalula's tweet? He goes, everything Julius says
is public record. I don't know about that.
He's
and
lying.
Then I don't know if you noticed that as well in the Sona debate. The DA are relentlessly appropriating symbols and imagery from pop culture, like in their speeches. Did you see in the Sona talking about in a galaxy far, far away?
Like
in Star Wars. And then
remember last time when you recited a Shakespeare poem but you like changed it up a little bit?
Yeah. And then Black Lives Matter.
Who said that? Black what?
Black Lives Matter. Musi Maimane was talking about Black. Yes.
I missed that.
Yeah, man. And then...
so eye-rolly. Like, you just can't help but roll your eyes.
Ronda Rousey revealed that she had suicidal thoughts after being knocked out by Holly Holm.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also want to kill myself after that knockout.
Yeah, that was bad. And just the way people reacted to it as well.
Yeah, I think people... No.
But Ronda's too hot to kill herself.
She is. She's so thick. So thick.
And she doesn't believe in lube. So there you go.
There we go. Anyway, this has been The Football Show. Nandi, thank you so much for coming into the studio today.
Thank you for holding down the fort.
Easily, all the time. And thank you to the guys who listened today. Thank you for your tweets. Thank you for your WeChat messages to Yao Kodua Agiekum, Teboho, and everyone else who was listening. This is The Football Show. Be kind to strippers. And remember, all boobs matter. And may the swag be with you.
This is CliffCentral.com.